Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Well, it was a day like any other day. This young priest, well, he had enough of the bad pastoral practices that had been going on that he'd been seeing around him. He knew about it because he was part of that too. You see, the trouble wasn't just the local priests who were doing a bad job. It was going all the way up to the top. They're top of the Catholic Church there in Rome. You see, he had a number of grievances against the church, against what he was so much a part of himself. But what gave him pause then to note that these problems were going on? Well, it was because he had begun studying the Bible. Yeah, his mentor had encouraged him to do so. In fact, so much so, it's like, hey, you need to really study the Bible because what I'm going to do is have you put in charge there at the university, and I'm going to have you teach theology. Wow. So he needed to, in order to teach it, he had to learn the thing. So he actually had to crack open his Bible. And that's when he really began to notice how bad a job the church had been doing in, as far as teaching the people what's in the Bible. Yes, those grievances were piling up. And it really started to kick in when he noticed that church attendance started to drop. And here again, it was another one of those bad practices that the church was doing. See, what was going on, there's a little fundraising going on. The church wanted to build a new cathedral down in Rome, and so they were selling indulgences, these pieces of paper that said, hey, if you buy this piece of paper here, well, you know, you're going to be able to get forgiveness of sins by doing that. In fact, if you want to throw in a few coins there, you can pop one of your relatives out of purgatory, too. Good thing. Well, people started buying into that. Stop coming to church. Well, that really got him upset. So much so that he decided that he had all these list of grievances there, that he was going to put those on the church door so that everybody could read those, so that they could begin a discussion there in the church. Now, the day that he chose was October 31st, 1517. Now, why that particular day? Well, he knew that there would be good church attendance the following day, November 1st, All Saints' Day. So this naive young priest, Martin Luther, nailed those theses to the church door. And while he wanted a discussion, well, he got one, and then some. So, going to look at our scripture readings here for today and see why they would be so appropriate to have for Reformation Sunday. Now, a first reading from Revelation would seem a rather odd choice to have until you examine the history behind it, why it was chosen. Well, the thought was that after Luther died, that, well, he was the fulfillment of this particular scripture passage. How so? Well, they thought that Luther was the angel that was referred to in this passage. And what did this angel do? Well, the same thing that Luther did. Spreading the eternal gospel. You see, it was Luther who wanted to get Christ back into the church. It was Luther there who wanted to put our focus there on Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And that brings us then into our gospel reading for today. Jesus had been speaking about himself there at the temple. And some of the Jews believed him, but they believed him, you might say, superficially, just barely believing in him. And so he says to them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, the people really didn't get what Jesus was talking about. They're like, hey, you know, we're children of Abraham, children of the promise. You know, we've never been slaves. Really? What about those 400 years there in Egypt? Maybe discount that, okay. Maybe bring it up to modern day times there for them. It's like, well, they're under the thumb of the Romans there. Are they truly free? No. What about the descendants of Herod? No, they're not free under them either. And so here they are. And so, while that's kind of the point that they're raising, well, Jesus drives home the point even further himself. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Here's the point that Jesus is really making here with the people, that the people are slaves to sin. Yes, freedom, true freedom. Well, that all ended back in the Garden of Eden. Yes, they had all the freedom in the world. They could do whatever they wanted until they sinned. Well, we inherited that from them. Our inclination to sin comes from their direct result of sin themselves. And so for that means that any time we break a commandment, yeah, we sin. Now, we don't like to think of it that way, but let's take a closer look at it. Let's pick a commandment. Let's say the fourth commandment. Now, let's say that you just wake up in the morning and you decide, like, you know, I'm going to keep that commandment. But then later on, you know, right before my dad goes to work, I'm going to go outside and let all the air out of his tires so he can't go to work. Now, we might chuckle at that and think, well, I'm not going to do anything that kind of grievous sin like that. But, well, we don't think in those terms. You see, we want to make sure that we keep our resume clean. You know, we want only the good things on there. So we want on a resume there just the good works that we do. We don't want any of the bad things on there, the lesser things, you know, because somebody might look at our resume. Somebody may want to hire us. But when it comes to the Lord, we like to think that we can keep our resume in the same way, only keeping the good on there. But the problem is those good things on the resume are like good works. And this is where our epistle lesson comes in for today. Paul says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." Good deeds don't get you in. Good deeds don't make it right between you and God. The only thing that happens when we look at the law, when we look at the Ten Commandments, is where we have failed at them. We can look at that list there and go, all right, I kept number one, I kept number two, I didn't do so well with number three. And we find out where we failed. That's what the law is good for, is pointing that out. And since God knows everything, he knows our complete resume. You see, we are truly slaves to sin. We are bound by them. And this is what Luther discovered in his studies. It's all about what Jesus did and not what we've done. He said it this way on April 2nd, 1540, at the baptism of Bernard von Anhalt. He said this, "Through this blessed exchange, in which Christ changes places with us, something the heart can grasp only in faith, and through nothing else are we freed from sin and death and given his righteousness and life as our own." What Luther is saying here is that there's a great exchange that happened. Okay? Jesus changed places with us. Strange way of saying it, but it makes it for an easy explanation. You see, sin needs to be punished. And the only punishment that is acceptable by God for our sins is death. Since man is chained to sin, and we sin, man is doomed. Slaves with no way out, no opportunity for freedom on our own. And that's what Paul was talking about. So, it takes an acceptable sacrifice then to release us from our sins. So what would be that acceptable sacrifice? Well, somebody who doesn't need to be punished, for instance. Somebody who kept all the law perfectly. Somebody who never sinned could step in our place. That's why God sent Jesus, because he did that very thing. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He didn't break the fourth commandment. Didn't break any of the commandments. And so that exchange took place. Where you and I should be the ones hanging on the cross, Jesus went instead in our place. And there he died on that cross. And God accepted his sacrifice on behalf of us all. So when he did, then, Jesus earned the forgiveness of sins for every person who ever lived, is living, or will ever live. But that forgiveness is only given to those who believe in Jesus. And that's exactly what Luther was saying. that this is something that the heart can grasp only in faith. You got to believe. That is the key. You need to believe in Jesus Christ. And that is the point that Jesus was driving at. If you believe in the Son, and it is the Son who sets you free, you will be free indeed. We have been freed from the consequences of our sins through Jesus' death on the cross. The trouble is, it doesn't mean that just because we believe in Jesus, we stop sinning. No, unfortunately, we still sin. But if we turn to the Lord, we find forgiveness. And so how do we then go about working on sinning less? We need to do what God calls us to do, and that is repent. Now, Jesus gives us a clue, and it is no secret, when he says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you abide in my word, the scriptures, that's the word. That's where we find out what sin is. That's where we find out what temptation is and how we need to work on avoiding those temptations. You see, that's where the Holy Spirit works on us, encouraging us, pointing out our sins. Hey, don't do that. He's trying to help us avoid temptations, encouraging us to be more Christ-like. And what that means is living a more sanctified, a more holy life. Now, notice I didn't say perfect life. We are humans, after all. We do sin. But you see, where there is forgiveness, there is hope. And that's what we learn when we study the scriptures. So what do we do? Well, we need to take to heart God's word and truly study it. Let us recall again what Luther said in regards to reading the scriptures. Note well that the power of Scripture is this. It will not be altered by the one who studies it. Instead, it transforms the one who loves it. You see, we need to love God's Word. We need to study God's Word, take it to heart, make it a part of ourselves. And in doing so, then, God draws us ever closer to Him. We begin to trust in Him more. We begin to understand that indeed Jesus is the one who frees us from our sins. That's something that we need to have all the time, to take that to heart again, so that we might come to understand truly how much God loves us through the Son who has set us free, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.